Manx Radio's update with Chris Pearson.
Pastor Mike, good evening. It's 5:30 and this is update for Friday the 22nd of October 2021 from Manx Radio with Chris in Varandi. A 30-minute look at the latest news on the Isle of Man along with Manx Sport, Business News, Sea Watch and the latest travel updates plus the newsmakers in person. Tonight, an MHK believes we need more information on the government's official COVID dashboard. The head of the Climate Transformation Committee on the prospect of actually being carbon zero on the island by 2050. What does the island think of the UK's assisted dying bill, which is progressing at the moment? A fourth candidate declares as a potential MLC. And no sex, please. We're Red Pandas.
Man Benham for all your business and legal needs.
It's now 5:31 with the latest news. Here's Dave Moore.
First to my, 108 new cases of COVID-19 have been reported according to the latest government figures. There are now 10 people with the virus receiving treatment in hospital, though none are in intensive care. It means there are now 744 active cases of COVID-19 on the island. 17 are described as pending investigation. A fourth candidate's been nominated for the forthcoming Legislative Council election. Diane Kelsey's been put forward for one of two available slots by Arbury, Castletown and Maloo MHK Tim Glover. Anne Corlett seconded the nomination. She joins Corelli Bentham, Paul Crane and Bill Shimmons in the election, which will be the first item of business discussed by the House of Keys on Tuesday, November the 23rd. A former Premier League footballer will appear in court again next month, charged with drink driving. Richard William Holden of Peel, who played for Manchester City and Oldham Athletic in the 1990s, appeared before Deputy High Bailiff James Brooks at Douglas Courthouse. People coming to the island from Liverpool tomorrow evening on the Mananin will have to head to the docks early. The 7:15 sailing to Douglas has been brought forward due to potential adverse weather conditions and will now depart from Merseyside at 6 o'clock. Passengers are asked to check in no later than 5:30. Further afield, despite increasing infections and a rising R number, Boris Johnson insists there's absolutely nothing to indicate the country will enter a new lockdown this winter. Even so, the UK government's scientific advisers say preparations for reintroducing coronavirus restrictions should be made now. And finally, almost 49,300 new coronavirus infections have been reported in the UK within the last 24-hour period. Daily figures show there have also been another 180 deaths. Those are the news headlines. More news in full at 6.
Thanks very much, Dave. And just to keep the theme going for Andy Wintz, it's the end of another flume-free week at the NSC.
Man Benham. Contact with us by phone, video call, email or face-to-face. We're happy to connect with you.
5:33.
Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Mostly dry this evening and tonight clear spells, just isolated showers, an overnight low of 7 degrees. Scattered showers for Saturday with bright intervals and a strengthening southwesterly wind. Highs tomorrow, 14 degrees. Widespread rain arriving through the evening, turning heavy at times overnight into Sunday. And the outlook beyond that, a wet and windy start to Sunday, but clearing to showers mid to late morning as the strong south to southwesterly wind veers southwesterly and decreases slightly. Top temperature on Sunday at 15 degrees. Sun setting today at 6:06, so in just over half an hour from now, and back up again at 8:01 tomorrow morning. Just to let you know the current situation regarding tide times as well, if I scroll down. The next low water will be at 7:33 this evening. The next high water will be at 1:22 tomorrow morning.
Having a new kitchen fitted or just fancy a change? Manx Glass and Glazing can produce bespoke coloured splashbacks to complete the look. Speak to the team at Manx Glass and Glazing today.
Update for Friday evening. The number of active cases of coronavirus on the island has risen to 744. Dave Moore has more details.
108 new cases of coronavirus have been identified locally in the last 24 hours. It brings the active number to 744, 17 of which are under investigation. The total of those struck by the virus is an increase of 26 on yesterday's figure. There are 10 people receiving treatment in hospital. However, none of them are in intensive care. In terms of testing, 309 are awaiting results, with 145 booked in for PCR tests tomorrow. As of the latest figures this afternoon, 140,327 vaccines have been administered so far in total on island.
An MHK is calling for more data to be added to the government's COVID-19 dashboard. Russian MHK Dr. Michelle Hayward will ask if the 14-day notification rate, which shows the infection rate per 100,000 of population, will be included at next week's sitting of the House of Keys.
It's something that we were using very, very early on when we were talking about borders and about what the level of infection rates were in England and things, and whether we were going to allow travellers in. We started talking about the 14-day case rate and the fact that if it was over a certain level, we'd act one way, and if it was under a certain level, we'd act another way with our borders. And then we seem to have quietly dropped that. Now, the bad news for us at the moment is that that rate is really, really high, and sad to say, the Isle of Man is possibly leading Western Europe in terms of case rates at the moment. But I think that's an important bit of information, because I think that helps people evaluate the risk that they're taking if they don't take measures to reduce transmission.
Should the government have a duty to be putting that data out there then, and when they're telling people to make their own decisions?
I'm a big fan of getting as much information to people out as possible, but also helping to them to interpret that information. You know, our case rate is such at the moment that if you were travelling from the Isle of Man, you would be banned from lots of countries in the world because our case rate is so high. And that's just an indication of the fact that we don't really have sensible transmission breaks in place.
The dashboard itself, we have seen a few tweaks and evolutions as the outbreak has gone on over the last 18 months or so. Has it been updated often enough? Does it actually reflect the data that we need?
The case rates data you tend to do on a weekly basis anyway, so it just needs to be an extra graph that sits in there that you could track where we were at. I think there are still some issues with the data that's coming through from the lab and that appears on the dashboard, and somehow that data goes into the team that have to put it on the dashboard, and it doesn't always reflect what the lab have said in the morning. And I know that they've been quite diligent about updating figures every morning. They've been feeding through what the results are, and on the day I went to visit the numbers on the dashboard didn't match what they'd said the day before. So I think there's still some gap there, and I don't understand how that is possible or where it's falling apart.
And whilst the Isle of Man government has remained largely tight-lipped on its plan to deal with the increasing cases of COVID-19 on the island, it has suggested that the public wear a face covering if in crowded public spaces. These residents in Douglas say they don't mind wearing the mask if need be.
It's personal choice. If the government's going to say anything, they need to say, yes, you must do it, or it's just down to the individual. I think it's just kind of expected that there's going to be a high number in the community. It would worry me if the numbers went up in the hospital and in intensive care. That's when I'd start to worry about it. But the community numbers, no, they aren't concerning me too much.
It's probably down to the individual, because some people have family members, elderly grandparents that, you know, you want to protect. So I think going into supermarkets and things like that, you probably would wear a mask. Personally, I haven't been now. I mean, I was initially, but now I don't. I think I probably will start wearing one again because my sister's pregnant.
Definitely to mask at the moment. It's getting out of control, particularly in the UK. No one's bothering to wear them. I always have and always will until the cases are really low.
I don't like the mask wearing. I find it uncomfortable, difficult to breathe, and also it makes my glasses steam up. I've got a slightly runny eye, and getting access to it, if I'm wearing a mask, is difficult. I know the popular view is that they make a big difference, but I haven't seen any real evidence. When I go in my pharmacy, they insist upon it, and I will do that. But anywhere else, I don't put them on. And I would be very much against the government making it mandatory. So my answer is no to the masks. No to social distancing.
I had COVID, was in hospital. I lost a brother to COVID. I know that a lot of things have been relaxed recently, which is good, but don't think for a second that COVID's gone, because it hasn't.
The government must be seen to be leading when it comes to tackling climate change on the Isle of Man. That's according to GAF MHK Daphne Kane. She's been appointed as the new chair of the government's Climate Change Transformation Board.
I know we all thought it was a missed opportunity in Laxey when the school was re-roofed recently, that there was no PV solar panels fitted as standard. And, you know, government should be doing such things so that there's some renewable energy and also reducing carbon emissions. The other thing which really amazes me is that gas boilers are still being fitted as standard in hundreds of new builds. And we've only had tiny little pockets of sample houses built in a sustainable way for the future. And I think we need to have a serious rethink in terms of our building standards. Obviously, making progress as fast as the construction industry can keep up with. But there's so much work going on in terms of educating installation engineers and everything else. And also, you know, where do people go? It's really vitally important that people who are wanting to make a green transition and improvements to their own home know where they can find the information as to how they go about that.
We're looking obviously at this target for net zero emissions by 2050. One organisation said that they think this may not be ambitious enough and that the Isle of Man could and maybe should be aiming for an even sooner target. What would you say to that?
Well, obviously that was a motion amendment to the climate change bill when it came through the branches. Laurie Hooper was attempting to have that date brought forward to 2035, which I supported. I think what we have to focus on is we now have hopefully that legislation will become an act and put statutory requirements on us to come forward and meet our climate carbon reductions net zero target by 2050. You know, if the Isle of Man and the technology improves along the way, we may get there sooner.
19 minutes to six if you have any comment on the news agenda. You have a story you think we should be covering, or you just want to say hello from near or far, then just email update@manxradio.com. There's been a fourth nomination for the Legislative Council election. Diane Kelsey has been put forward for one of the two available slots by Arbury Castletown and Maloo MHK. Tim Glover and Collett seconded the nomination. She joins Corelli Bentham, Paul Crane and Bill Shimmins in the election, which will be decided on the 23rd of November. Mrs Kelsey currently works as the private secretary and chief of staff to the Lieutenant Governor, following a career as an engineering officer with the Royal Air Force. She told me earlier that she felt now was the right time to stand for the role as an MLC.
Well, I suppose I've been working behind the scenes for the last 4 years, and I feel I can now contribute much more directly.
And what is it in particular you feel that you bring to the role?
The experience in particular of the last 4 years in my current duties and seeing all the legislation that's come through for the Lieutenant Governor to give royal assent to, but also I'm looking forward to the opportunity to influence and assist future Manx lawmaking directly rather than seeing just the end result.
And your background prior to coming to the Isle of Man, you were with the Royal Air Force. Do you feel the experience you had there has any direct bearing on this role?
Yes, especially as an engineer officer, there are quite strong guidance and rules and legislation you have to follow. They don't call it legislation, but it's very similar procedures that you follow. And I was responsible for making sure if there was changes needed or we needed to review those, and that was part of my duties. But I think as almost a lifelong public servant, if you take my military career and the last few years in the Isle of Man, I just feel that LegCo is a natural progression for me from where I've been to where I'd like to be.
And the LegCo role itself will be a huge change for you personally. What are you looking forward to most, should you be sort of lucky with the process?
Being part of a bigger team. I'm quite a team player. I like working with other people and trying to make things better for everybody. That's just the way, that's what I enjoy doing.
And a reminder that the votes for the MLCs will be the first item of business on the agenda for the House of Keys on the 23rd of November.
To comment on the update news agenda, call Manx Radio anytime on 682 631 or email update@manxradio.com. Sea-Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
5:43, checking out what's happening on the sailing front. The next departure for the terminal here, Ben McCree, left Heysham at 11 minutes past 2 this afternoon, due into Douglas at 5 to 6 this evening. The departure after that, the Mananium will be left Douglas at 9 minutes to 3 this afternoon, due in at Liverpool at 5:39. Liverpool departure for the Mananium will be at 7:15 this evening, due into Douglas at 8 o'clock this evening. The Ben McCree due to depart Douglas at 7:45, heading into Heysham, due there at 11:30 this evening. And the next sailing for the Ben McCree will be leaving Heysham Horsham at 2:15 in the morning, due into Douglas at 6 o'clock due to the adverse weather conditions. The sailing tomorrow, as you might have heard Dave mentioning earlier, the Liverpool departure tomorrow from 7:15 could be leaving early. It's leaving at 6 o'clock at the moment instead of 7:15. If you know someone that's travelling back on that, that's the Mananin sailing at 7:15 tomorrow, Saturday 23rd. Please get in touch with them and let them know the boat will be leaving early at 6 o'clock tomorrow.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
The assisted dying bill was up for debate in the House of Lords in the UK today. The bill gives patients that are sound of mind with 6 months left to live the right to die. If the bill is approved, the patient would have to consult 2 doctors and also approach the High Court. Currently, assisted dying is illegal in the UK. The Isle of Man Free Thinkers, a local group, believes the topic should be discussed on the island. Banks Radio Chanel Taku reports.
In a statement, Muriel Garland from the Isle of Man Free Thinkers said the members were watching the debate with great interest. She said the group supported assisted dying and would like to see the topic being discussed on the island and more specifically at Tynwald. She said the Isle of Man Free Thinkers sees assisted dying as a personal choice which should be available to everybody suffering from a terminal condition. She added that medical and public opinion is changing and the topic is not going to go away.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
It's exactly 40 minutes to six. The Bank of England's new chief economist has warned that the UK inflation is likely to hit or even surpass 5% by the early next year. Hugh Pill told the Financial Times that the bank would have a live decision to make at its next interest rate setting meeting on 4th November. The UK interest rate has been at a historic low of 0.1% since March 2020. And an industry body says higher prices from supply chain disruption and weak consumer confidence are combining to damage the UK's economic recovery from the coronavirus pandemic. Retail sales volumes took a surprise dip last month to achieve their longest losing streak on record, according to official figures released as a measure of consumer confidence, showed a slump to levels last seen back in February.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsay Crookall.
UK and European stocks closed higher as fears over the Chinese property market cooled while investors monitored corporate earnings and key economic data. US stocks pulled back as investors digested the new commentary on asset purchase tapering and inflation from the Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell. Oil prices resumed their climb on continued tightness in a US supply. Gold price finished higher as well. In corporate news, JD Sports Fashion rallied after saying it had bought 80% of family-owned Greek firm Cosmo Sport for an undisclosed sum. At the close in the markets, the FTSE 100 stands at 7,204. That's up 0.20%. The DAX is at 15,542. That's up 0.46%. Dow Jones, 35,556. That's down by 0.13%. Standard & Poor 500 at 4,527. Down by 0.49%. The NASDAQ at 15,039. Down by 1.16%. And the exchange rates today, the British pound will buy 1.374 US dollars, and against the euro, it stands at 1.181. Gold closed at 1,785, a rise of 0.16%, and Brent crude oil, it stands at $83.62 per barrel. That's a rise of 0.31%.
With the volatility of global stock markets and the uncertainty of the new normal, you'd be forgiven for thinking now is not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer opportunities to take advantage of lower prices and to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment in the future. Ramsay Crookall, investment specialists and members of the London Stock Exchange. Call 717171 or visit ramsaycrookall.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
I think that's inevitable.
Manx Radio, the Nation Station. It's 11 minutes to 6. It's Chris looking after things for Andy Wint, taking you through until 6 o'clock this evening. The new steam packet company vessel is on time and on budget. That's according to the managing director of the ferry operator, Brian Thompson, with the Manxman due to enter service next year. He has also been discussing the organisation's reliability.
I think that's inevitable. That's shipping for you. And actually, if you look at shipping companies or ferry companies across the world, the steam packet company statistics are actually very, very good. But if you're that person who's been inconvenienced, you forget all about that and you're upset about it. Having a backup vessel, so we do have the Arrow that steps in and takes the freight when we have to use it. When we get the new vessel, the Manxman, the Ben McCree will become the backup vessel then, so that'll cover quite a lot of bases for us then.
Well, the new vessel, what do you know about the update on how that's coming on?
Well, I can tell you 80% of the steel has been cut, some blocks have been put together. The vessel's coming together nicely. I just had a report the other day with some photographs. There'll be more further media releases on that in the near future. It's on budget, it's on the timescale that we've given them, so we're very, very happy considering everything that's going on in the world.
And will that be docking at the new Liverpool landing stage?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. Certainly from our colleagues at DOI, that's what we've been indicated, that the landing stage will be ready.
Because that's nothing to do with the steam packet, is it?
It is not. It's a DOI project. The steam packet are the end user. That will be the gateway to the island in the future.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify. Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today or find us on Facebook.
The latest sports news, Fastermy, Rob Pritchard.
Fastermy, good evening. On the back of their impressive league form, FC Isle of Man will be starting their cup journey proper this weekend. The Ravens are taking on Billingham Synthonia in the first round of the FA Vars tomorrow. The Manx side qualified for the competition after overcoming Oldham-based Avro FC 3-1 back on the 25th of September. FC Isle of Man go into this game undefeated in 8 matches in all competitions. Meanwhile, their opponents, Billingham Synthonia, currently sit 7th in their respective league, the Northern Football League Division 2, with only 2 defeats in 18 games so far. They themselves progressed to this stage of the FA Vars with a 3-1 win over Brandon United last month. The Ravens will take on Billingham Synthonia at the Norton Sports Complex on Teesside from 3:30 p.m. on Saturday. In athletics, it's a quiet weekend of fixtures on Ireland with just the one starting this Sunday morning. The opening round of the Western AC Trail Run Series will see 1K, 2K, 5K and 10K races, which will start and finish near the Fishyards in Peel. Meanwhile, entries for the popular Sid Quirk Half Marathon next month are filling up fast. As of Wednesday this week, there were only 23 places left, with the limit being 400. And a hugely important figure in the Manx tennis scene has had a special visit after being honoured with a significant accolade earlier this year. Pat Sharp of Albany Lawn Tennis Club received the Lifetime Achievement Award in the 2021 Lawn Tennis Association Awards in June. She was finally presented with the honour in person by LTA President David Rawlinson last weekend at Albany's clubhouse.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Here we go then, having a look at what's happening on the roads. Paul Rose Bridge remains closed to traffic, of course, in Douglas. Temporary three-way traffic lights at the Brown Bobby for services and sewer construction. Expect delays there, you won't be disappointed. Also in Douglas, temporary lights on the Old Castle Town Road at the Whitehofer Cable Lane. West Baldwin running through until the end of this month. The West Baldwin Road now closed for resurfacing work between the Mount Rule Road and the Ballymoda Road. That's the junction there by St Luke's Church. In Laxey, Glen Road closed for work on the New River Wall. Kirkmichael running through until the middle of November. Temporary lights back on the main road for work on the new raised walkway near the petrol station. Ballasalla until the middle of November. Temporary traffic lights on the main road. That work continues on the new bypass. And finally, Port St Mary through until the 23rd of October, which is tomorrow. Temporary traffic lights on the promenade. That's for demolition work.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre Club Card has over £400 worth of saving for your whole family. Get more with Quayside.
This weekend on Manx Radio, our winning weekend wordplay continues, and this time we're teaming up with Pizza Napoli. We'll give you the chance to win a meal for four at their Douglas restaurant on Prospect Terrace. To win, all you need to do is have a go at our winning weekend wordplay, which is on all day Saturday and Sunday, and we'll announce the winner on Monday's breakfast show at 10 to 9. So join us this weekend to be a winner with Pizza Napoli here on your nation station, Manx Radio.
It's update for Friday, 22nd October, 6 minutes to six now. Kush, the wildlife's infamous red panda, the wildlife park's infamous red panda, has had a sex ban imposed by the park's management. The measure has been taken ahead of the breeding season after last year's failed attempt to apply contraceptive measures to his partner Sarah. Park manager Kathleen Graham takes up the story.
As part of the international breeding programme, the stud bookkeeper will make recommendations for various animals. So Kush and Sarah have had a non-breeding recommendation this year. And in fact, they had a non-breeding recommendation last year as well. And we had contracepted the female Sarah and thought all was well. And then all of a sudden we had two more cubs this year. So the stud bookkeeper was okay about that. We explained that the contraception had failed and he was fine and he's going to place those pandas cubs that have been born this year. But for next year's panda cubs, i.e. this winter's breeding season, we definitely can't breed. And for the moment, we've decided that the safest option is to impose a physical separation. And that is one of the recommendations that's made by the stud book as a sort of contraceptive method.
Now, given the physical separation, given his track record, are you confident you can keep him away from the ladies?
Well, yeah, I mean, we sort of joke a little bit about it because we always know on social media people are going to joke about it anyway. But the half of the Coati enclosure where he is at the moment, the walls around there are actually higher than the panda enclosure that he normally stays in with Sarah. So we are confident that he will stay there. And red pandas are essentially solitary animals normally in the wild anyway. So he won't really mind that separation too much. Normally, they kind of ignore each other in the enclosure anyway. But he does like his tree in there. So we will, once the breeding season's over, we will move him back in with Sarah.
So bromide in Cush's tea, basically, is the way forward. That's it for update for tonight and for this week at the end of what is another flume-free week at the NSC. Just keeping Andy's fine work going there. That's it for update itself, compiled as ever from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Dave Moore and producer Rob Pritchard. Stories you've heard, an update and much more, Manx News Plus interviews and podcasts, along with the web's largest source of Manx videos, are all available 24/7 online via manxradio.com or the free-to-download Manx Radio app. Stay tuned, we've got the sports show on the way, a preview of everything coming up this weekend with Rob Pritchard. I'll be back on Monday. In the meantime, Mr. W-I-N-T, if you're listening, get well soon.
P-E-A-R-S-O-N.
Good night.